If we write books with a deep sense of responsibility, believing that the book is written for our future selves to read in the next life, then perhaps there would be fewer falsehoods in the world. And if the knowledge created within human civilization was such that its creator could honestly answer why it was conceived, then the culture shaped by this knowledge would not lead humanity astray. This quote might be a bit lengthy, but it came about while I was reflecting. I was searching for the why behind my own actions, which became the starting point for writing my book. We are Buddhists, but if we don't aspire for nirvana, how should we navigate our lives without going astray? Thanks to the 10th Gallama Sutta left by the Buddha, which states, "Do not believe, even if I myself said it," according to the Dharma transmission of Fra Dharma Kosakarya or Buddhadasa Bhikkhu. How do we build our knowledge if we don't aim for nirvana? The aforementioned knowledge quote is from my own creation. This message was conceived from the decision to write a book for myself in this and future lives nearly 20 years ago. Given my current perspective that in this lifetime, I have no desire to teach anyone anymore, all I can do is write. I write books and leave them for my future self to read in the next life, but this act also serves as a form of merit for others. Don't let your subconscious mind dismiss this vital information before your mind and soul reject the existence of this truth. Chapter 3. Self-reflection and opportunities in shaping one's destiny. One of the simplest yet hardest things is about ourselves. It is so close to us that we often overlook how we truly are. Uncle wants to point out to us clearly that we know very little about ourselves. Let's consider ourselves for a moment, just a simple reflection. Who can tell Uncle how our normal breathing is? How do we breathe? It's not just about saying to Uncle that we breathe in and out, or out and in. Let's pause and contemplate for a moment. How do we breathe? Let's begin. Who can answer how we breathe normally? Let's try again if you still can't answer. Let's start, shall we? Can you answer or not? It depends on how much you try to perceive and remember the different states that occur within us. Slowly, in our thoughts, in our minds, what happens together with our breath. Take your time to observe it once again. Gather as many details as possible about what happens to us. It will help to compare with what Uncle is going to explain. Take your time to consider. Let's begin. Try to consider it until you start to see it. How many minutes will it be? If someone remembers what happened to us, try to consider the following story in relation to the previous discussion about our own breathing. It's strange that we usually don't know how we breathe, because we don't pay attention or observe it. As soon as we start to observe, our thoughts immediately influence our breathing. The breath we observe is not our normal breath that naturally occurs within us. That is the breath controlled by our thoughts, the breath that we use our thoughts to control it. The breath becomes a servant of our thoughts. For as soon as we observe our thoughts, they control the breath. Conscious thoughts enter and engage. Why do we think to control the breath in such a way? It is because our knowledge confines our thinking in that manner. The knowledge in this context, Uncle means it as everything you perceive, information, learning, experiences related to the subject you are contemplating. In this case, it means thinking in order to control the breath. Knowledge controls thoughts and then controls us when we are conscious. And when we are unconscious, who controls us? Now try considering the breath again and exerting control to stop the thought that commands your breath to let it breathe naturally as it is. But don't let go of observing your own breath. Start again, try again. How is it it's strange that we can't stop thinking? Our very own thoughts have not been fully controlled. Anyone who still thinks they can control the thoughts of others should probably stop. We are indeed like that, becoming enslaved to the things we take in and then processing them into our own knowledge. For example, words like values, attitudes, and anything else that influences our thoughts. A person with some level of consciousness will filter the various information that enters and becomes our knowledge. On the other hand, someone who lacks it will have everything mixed together without knowing much. And then it will determine our destiny because the knowledge we have determines our thoughts. This Uncle called life being used by knowledge. For example, when considering someone's breath, when we consider ourselves, we take a long, deep breath. Our thoughts direct us to take a long, deep breath. To take a long, deep breath because we know it's good, so breathe like that. Some people don't know why their thoughts command them to breathe in such a way. Because we don't know what we know, so we have to think about breathing like that. Some people's thoughts that force their breaths are scattered. No knowledge is a framework for thinking at all. Even though we have consciousness, we still don't really know whether the knowledge and thoughts we possess determine our life's destiny we have. Is it good to determine our destiny when we are conscious? Consideration, a framework of knowledge that should be, or what Uncle refers to as the framework of wisdom or the framework of thoughts. Uncle will explain the next day today. Now, the topic that Uncle wants us to consider is how we work and how we can understand ourselves to the fullest. Like the breath that we consider. We are just like that. When we have consciousness, we are under the influence of thoughts, enslaved by them. Thoughts are slaves to knowledge, which we don't yet know whether it should be that way. But we also don't know what we truly are. The next question, what about the times in our lives, most of us, are we conscious enough to know how we think, how we force ourselves? When we are conscious with the times when we are unconscious, which time is more? Just by contemplating our breath, we realize how little we truly know ourselves as human beings. Life drifts aimlessly, devoid of purpose, much like scattered debris in the vastness of space. With consciousness comes knowledge, and with knowledge comes thoughts that govern us. We are influenced by the power of knowledge. Without consciousness, we remain oblivious to our true nature. For instance, just as we do not know what our own breath is, one thing Uncle knows is that the teachings of the Buddha's Dharma grant us freedom, freedom of the body, freedom of thoughts, and spiritual freedom. There are no snares to bind us. Various forms of freedom talk about each other. Let's continue to contemplate further. How do we come to know? How do we understand ourselves? Let's revisit the contemplation of the breath once more, slowly, slowly, until we cannot go any slower. At the beginning of our contemplation, before our thoughts command our breath is just our normal breath. Similarly, before our thoughts intervene, we are simply ourselves, not our thoughts. Wherever our mind moves, our awareness follows. And we feel without needing to think, that is our original self. What do we feel? It's like the initial moment when we begin to contemplate our breath. Even though we have consciousness, we still don't really know whether the knowledge and thoughts we possess determine our life's destiny we have. Is it good to determine our destiny when we are conscious? Consideration, a framework of knowledge that should be, or what Uncle refers to as the framework of wisdom or the framework of thoughts. Uncle will explain the next day today now. The topic that Uncle wants us to consider is how we work and how we can understand ourselves to the fullest, like the breath that we consider. What do we feel? It's like that initial moment when we begin to contemplate our breath. Let's take a slow and deliberate approach until we encounter the state where the breath passes through the nostrils before we even realize that our thoughts are directing our breath. If we continue to observe and contemplate, we will discover that there are moments when something affects us without us being aware of it. Our brain starts functioning, thoughts emerge, and we experience what Uncle refers to as rusuk or sing the rusuk. The uncle had to use transliterated words as Thai terms rusuk or sing the rusuk as substitutes. It will help us understand the nuances and depth of the original Thai text. The reason for using these Thai terms is that language is merely a symbol, and the symbols I use even in Thai itself, which is the main language of the uncle in general, cannot capture the same level of detail. By selecting key words and using them as substitutes, it will make it easier to understand the knowledge I have written in the book, allowing for a deeper understanding. The phrases rusuk or sing the rusuk are very important terms in starting to study, contemplate oneself, and investigate whether the knowledge I am conveying is true. The term rusuk, which is close to the English phrase just feeling, and sing the rusuk, which is similar to the phrase something we just feel, convey a similar meaning. When using transliteration, we will observe more thoroughly, and one day we will be able to separate the information that occurs in our system as something that we just feel or feel. This uncle does not include feelings, emotions, or mood at all. That's precisely why the signal comes out clearly before going through the thought process, and then we can consider reading about them in other books. Rusuk or Singdi Rusuk can be likened to the average of our mental desires, defilement of our mind's oscillation in response to the influences of the environment that typically affect us, that tremble according to the state of the environment that affects. That normal human beings like us are able to catch up in a timely manner how we truly are. In the beginning, we don't have to delve into the stage of how our minds ripple or how our mental states fluctuate. Our defilements in each moment, what is our mind like? It's as simple as knowing what Rusuk or Singdi Rusuk is. For the children studying with Uncle, Uncle will distribute two pills to help them familiarize themselves with their own selves before moving on to the next stage of self-discovery. It serves as a precursor to defining their life's path, preceding the journey of seeking the meaning of life for each individual. The two pills were, first pill, don't lie to yourself. Second pill, don't deny what is your Singdi Rusuk. Note, it doesn't mean to act based solely on what we Rusuk, but rather not to deny our Singdi Rusuk. What we need to practice is not to rush ourselves to the point where we do things without being aware of what we Rusuk or what is your Singdi Rusuk. We should reflect frequently and keep taking those two pills every time we become aware of ourselves. After a while, we will finally start to know ourselves, at least we will become familiar enough with ourselves to have a chance to free ourselves from being slaves to our own thoughts. The repetitive thoughts we think shape our behaviors, the repetitive behaviors we engage in form our habits, the habits we repeatedly practice define our character, and the character we consistently exhibit determines our destiny in life. It is the teaching of Luang Pucha who used to say, if Uncle remembers correctly, in the beginning, we may feel slower in recognizing our actions compared to how we feel afterward. For example, stepping on our mother's heart or someone we love, it took us a month to realize what we had done. After waking up too late, we have to take the two pills to discover why we acted that way, because we want to understand what we were seeing the Rusuk. Keep practicing. The more we practice, the quicker we will Rusuk, and we will feel faster until we can know Singdi Rusuk in every moment we breathe as we desire to know it. If our thoughts slow down, the more aware we become, our awareness becomes more refined, and we will feel more sensitive. We will get to know ourselves faster. When we become the master of our thoughts and don't let thoughts control us, it signifies that we are starting to have a role in determining the causes of our life's destiny. Uncle will discuss this further on another occasion. I wish that our thoughts are slow enough for everyone to understand own heart. With good intentions towards all of us, Uncle Mei JD. In an era flooded with vast volumes of information, it's more crucial than ever to possess the ability to discern truth from fiction. As streams of data surge around us like tumultuous waves in an endless sea, a lone individual amidst a deluge of scattered information is attempting to find their way. The ability to navigate these waters becomes paramount. Without the vital skill to separate genuine information from falsehoods, our life's trajectory can be severely affected. As beautifully articulated in the truth quote from the book, Read Before the Meaning of Your Life is Lesser on page 204. In an era overloaded with information and a plethora of news, if we cannot revive such a skill, how are we to distinguish what is true from what is false? Reviving the human skill of creating knowledge is paramount for people to maintain the essence of life. This allows us to independently discover what is true or false. It is imperative not to be dismissive. Don't let your subconscious mind cast aside this crucial knowledge before your very essence rejects the reality of our current predicament. Don't let your subconscious mind dismiss this vital information before your mind and soul reject the existence of this situation. Let us not forsake the opportunity to seek solutions to this pressing issue. Read Before the Meaning of Your Life is Lesser.